Our text this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm going to read just three verses. And we are going to reflect upon these verses from the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Let's spend a moment in silence to pray. Father, we want to hear your voice. We want to receive what you have prepared for us this morning as we read your word. Father, may your Holy Spirit help us to receive it, to understand it, and help us to respond because we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today we have Andrew and Jalia making promises before the Lord, asking his blessing upon his son Jeffrey. As all parents, they want the best for Jeffrey. Is there any recipe for successful parenting? Do you have it? Successful parenting. And the truth is that we never have more opinions about child or children when we don't have any of ourselves. Sometimes, I don't know if you remember when you were single or you didn't have any children, and said, you see a child and said, my children will never do that. Let me tell you, after a few years, those words will come back to you, to haunt you. I am one of those people. And that is about successful parenting. You know, the humorist, Mark Twain, he says, I don't know about that, but he said, when they become teenagers, put them in a barrel and fed them through the knot hole, where they turn 16, stop out the knot hole. I don't know about that. You know, we want to learn about being good parents. And that is one I do like. It's James Dobson in his book, The Strong-Willed Child. He says about successful parenting, child rearing is like baking a cake. You don't realize you have a disaster until it's too late. I'm not here to give you a recipe, Jan and Andrew, but maybe some tips. And the best source is the Word of God, if we have faith. And that is what in my heart is to share with you very briefly this morning. It's not I got it right. It's not that we got it right, but we can have some biblical tips for parenting. And the passage we have this morning is, the context is this. It's lessons about love. Moses is about 120 years old, and he's giving his last sermons, his last discourse, his last speech to the people of Israel. Lessons for our hearts. It's not just about law. He's functioning here as a prophet. He's not the leader, because Jesus later, he quoted these words. And it's about loving the Lord, having affection for the Lord. Not just respect. It's affection. Loving. Maybe by now you recognize I am a simple mortal. I love the Lord. In what I speak from my heart. What you see is what you get. There is no hypocrisy. No pretending. That's what God is talking about here. That is what Moses is speaking about, the love of God. And the first thing we need to remember is this, Andrew and Jalia, that children are a gift from God. A God who loves you so much. A God who loved me so much that I've been blessed with three children. That God who loves you so much, they are a gift from God.
Psalm 127 verses 3 to 5 says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offsprings a reward from him, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. What a picture. They're a gift from God. So if we want to survive parenthood, remember that your child or your children are worth the struggle and are a gift from God, even if they sometimes act like the devil. They are a gift from God. Before I share the second one, I want you to check the context of this passage. Before we go and think they're a gift from God, but here Moses told the people in the following chapter, chapter 7, he explains to the people of Israel why they had been chosen. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 says, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous. The Lord didn't choose you because you were handsome, because you were powerful, because you were special. Not because I love you. Unconditional love. When we come to Christianity, the love that God has for me, the eternal life I have or you have, that hope we have, is not because we come to church every Sunday. It's not because I belong to a particular church. It's not because I have been a minister for many years or because somebody has been a minister for so many years or the Pope or some. No, it's because God loves us. Unconditional love. So the second thing to remember is that we are to love our children with unconditional love. As God, the Father that we were singing this morning about it, has patience with you, you have to have patience with your children. I am called to have patience with my children. Grace, unconditional love. Never allow you, Jeffrey, to think that your love is conditional to his behavior. This is the Bible in a nutshell. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world. God loved the world. That he gave his only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The second ingredient is unconditional love. They are a gift. Unconditional love. The third one I love and is about the uniqueness of every single child. And the third ingredient is in our recipe or our tips that maybe we could get is that we need to recognize and work with our children's natural talents and inclinations. You know, if we want to survive, okay, this is the child, this is a gift, I have to love this child, but this child is going to be far better than me. I keep on repeating my children, they are going to get to places that I've never been before. That is Jeffrey. He will be far away. Yeah, he will be far better than you. Oh. But we have a duty. We need to train them. The Bible says in Proverbs, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. The King James Version I like better. He said, train up a child in the way they should go. Now, training children in the way they should go has always been a huge and vital task in every generation. If we train them well at home, believe me, they will be good outside. However, nowadays we are facing many challenges. Society tells something different to the Bible. We have new laws, new moral values. But the Bible says, train them up. Sometimes this verse is taken as a guarantee that if we have, we train them well, they will do well. Well, we know it's not true. Now, what does it say? I like the paraphrasing. Somebody put it like this, and I love to share this with you, Andrew and Jalia. I'm going to adapt that verse. It said, adapt the training of Jeffrey so that it is in keeping with his God-given characteristics and tendencies and natural talents. When he becomes, you know, when he comes to maturity, he will not depart from the training he has received. That's what this verse is saying. Every child has natural bends, natural characteristics. My duty and your duty is to train them up. Now, I was looking for this word, and I found this definition, and I love it. And this is in Hebrew. This is the Old Testament. And the word train up, that's the reason why I use the King James Version. They said the root word for train up in the Hebrew is a word used to describe the palate of the or the roof of the mouth. It was used to describe the actions of a Hebrew midwife who, after helping to deliver a baby, will dip her fingers in the paste made of dates and rub it on the gums of the new baby to create thirst and start the baby's feeding instinct. That is the word. Train up. The parent is in like manner to create a thirst in their child for the right things. So if we train the child just about working, earning money, they will do it. If we train the child to be have prejudice against people of other races or other social background, they will learn it. If we train the child to be loving and caring, they will learn it. That's what he's saying. That's the word. And then Moses is saying to the people, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you are to be on your hearts." What a wonderful. "My children, if they start loving the Lord, it's because I did it like the midwife did. To create a thirst for God, not just for material things." The ingredients is to work with Jeffrey's talent, but to help Jeffrey to love the Lord. Now, the next one is about a word that sometimes I said that some people don't like it. It's about discipline. You know, perhaps the greatest responsibility we are giving is to discipline our children. We are reminded in the book of Proverbs 29 verse 15, "Rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother." That's the Bible. Now, two verses later, he says, "Discipline your children and they will give you" what? "Peace. They will bring you the light you desire." This proverb clearly reminds us that godly discipline of children will bring delight and rest to your soul. But failure to do so will bring shame and disgrace. Now, it's not about, some people take it literally, you know, hitting children. That is not what the verse is talking about. Let me give you an example. When 1993, I was in San Antonio. I was studying there, and then I attended a church in San Antonio. And it's a quite big church, and sometimes I used to live in an Air Force base, but I used to travel and spend there weekends. They have a problem in American juvenile problems, youth problems, and these new gangs, they start vandalizing walls, and the church was have graffitis many times. The church have to spend a lot of money buying this expensive equipment that the local council has to do it. Even one weekend, I said to the pastor, I said, "Look, I'm going to stay here. I'm not going back to the base. I spend the whole weekend with some students in the seminary cleaning the mess." But the pastor preached a sermon that I remember, and he used an illustration, which is actually true because I went to Houston, and that was something in the police department there. 12 rules for raising juvenile youth. Delinquent children. And I kept it. Begin with infancy to give the child everything he wants. In this way, he will grow up to believe the world owes him a living. When he picks a bad word, laugh at him. This will make him think that it is a cue. That it is cue. Never give him any spiritual training. I could use him or her. This is a quite old reference. But wait until he or she is 21 and then let him or her decide for himself or herself. Avoid the use of the word wrong. He may develop a guilt complex. This will condition him to believe later when he is arrested for stealing a car that society is against him and he is being persecuted. Pick up everything he leaves lying around. Do everything for him so that he will be experienced in throwing all responsibility on others.
Let him read any printed material he can get in his hand on. Be careful that the silverware and drinking glasses are sterilized, but let his mind feast on garbage.
Quarrel frequently in the presence of your children. In this way, they will not be shocked when the home is broken up later.
Give a child all the spending money he wants or she wants. Never let him earn his own. Satisfies his every craving for food, drink, and comfort. See that every sensual desire is gratified. Take his part against neighbors, teachers, and policemen. They are all prejudiced against your child. When he gets into real trouble, apologize for yourself by saying, "I never could do anything with him." Prepare for a life of grief. You will likely have it. That was in the police department. It touched my heart, and I kept it. Now my children know where I come from.
The parenting is like manner to, you know, we need to howl our children. It's not like a police prison officer. We should seek wisdom to guide them. These are the words we read before. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord. Now, the word training up that we read before was in Hebrew. This one is Greek. And this word translated training is paedia. It is the word that we get pedagogy and from. It can refer to discipline, but normally contains the broader meaning of education. The best way to give discipline is by example.
I remember my friends in Ecuador, and in the 70s and 80s, you know, they used to drink a lot, and there was a lot of problems with alcoholism. And I used to see, you know, I used to observe. Maybe your children are observing you, your grandchildren are observing you. And I used to observe. And then I saw my best friend's brother. He died 33 years old with his liver totally destroyed because he was drinking too much. You know what his father used to say when he was 20, 25? Why is he drinking too much? I don't know. But I used to see them sending him to buy alcohol. You see the point? Discipline comes by example. As a church, we need to be careful. Because discipline, of course, means conflict, and far too often parents attempt to resolve discipline with yelling session with the children. You know, this is the way. I made no mistake, those mistakes. But at home and in church, we train people by example. Be careful what you talk about your church on your table. You ministered, the leaders, Sunday school, the people serving. Be careful, be careful, be careful. I can tell you stories in London of young people who grew up in Christian homes. It's difficult to bring them back. The fifth ingredient is something that sometimes we don't want. Accept our responsibility. Every parent is also a human, and all humans make mistakes. When you make a mistake, when your children admit it, it may come to a shock, but your children already know that you are not perfect. My children know I am not perfect. I know my dad is not perfect. But when I hear my dad recognizing, even if he has served the Lord for 54 years, a Baptist minister, I love it. He's a humble man, not a grumpy man. A loving, gentle man. You may think, well, my children are all grown, but invest your wisdom and experience in a young couple with children. Be a mentor, and if you have the privilege of grandchildren, be a godly influence in their lives. You see, this is, as I finish today, this is all about. Shall we read together this phrase? That's it. That's it, Andrew. We are to be their light, their guidance. That's what Moses is saying to the people. Hear Israel.
Years ago, have you heard about Vitae Lampada? It's Latin for torch of life. It's a poem. It aims to teach moral lessons and provide a guiding principle for the conduct of life. I met an old gentleman in the previous church. I took his funeral, and I didn't understand why he always has and she shared this poem. And I read that poem in his funeral. And then I start try to learn from this poem. Let me read it to you. And I'm going to conclude today. Perhaps we could learn some lessons. Vitae Lampada is Latin for torch of life. There is a breathless hush in the close tonight. Ten to make and the match to win. A bumping pitch and a blinding light. An hour to play and the last man in. It is not for the sake of a ribbon coat or the selfish hope of a season's fame, but his captain's hand on his shoulder smote, play up, and play the game. The sun of the desert is sudden red, red with the wreck of a square that broke, the Gatling jammed and the colonel dead, and the regiment blind with dust and smoke. The river of death has been his banks, in England's far and honor a name, but the voice of a schoolboy rallies the ranks. Play up, play up, play the game. This is the word that year by year, while in her place the school is set, every one of her sons must hear, and none that hear it dare forget. This day, all with joyful mind, bear through life like a torch in flame, and falling flames to the host behind, play up, and play the game. This poem was written in 1897 by Sir Henry Newbolt. The first verse is set in the school cricket fields. I didn't understand that the first time. And the thing is in a difficult situation. These are young boys playing. And he says, 10 to make and the match to win. And the poem suggests that learning to be a team player is better than thinking of personal gain. Not for the sake of a ribbon coat. Family is supposed to be a team. My family is a team where we encourage one another. We sit on the table and sometimes we argue. Well, most of the time, I don't know, but we talk. We are a team. Jeffrey is in your team now. God wants to be with us. He doesn't leave us alone. He will walk with us if we allow him. The second verse, those men who may once been boys playing cricket are now in a foreign land facing an even more difficult situation. The Gatling jammed and the colonel's dead. In the bitter reality of the battlefield, the poet tells the principles of selflessness learned on the school cricket pitch still hold good, but the voice of the school boy rallies the runs, play up, play up, play up the game. When our children grow, they will have to face greater challenges, but they will remember that they will learn what they learn at home. I still hear the voice of my mother saying, trust and obey. Trust and obey. My grandmother, trust and obey. Play up. Play up the game, Freddy. When people around you, people around our children come in struggle, if we have a good home, they will remember. They will remember. If we put our trust in Jesus, if we build up a relationship with him, he has promised to give us eternal life. He not only walks with us, but he will be there saying, carry on, my dear son. Carry on, my dear daughter. Finally, the final verse make a plea for the values of continuing tradition and discipline learned at school to be handed down from generation to generation and falling flame to the host behind. In this modern individualistic world where social customs and traditions have changed rapidly, we have new moral laws, new laws to keep up with technological change, play up and play up the game may seem a rather antiquated and old-fashioned moral. The same is with our Christian faith. Perhaps for some it may look antiquated and old-fashioned, but is there for those who want to believe. Andrew Njalia, successful parenting. the idea of good parents always produce good children and bad parents always produce bad children is not true. We all know families where the parents were a walking disaster, yet their children turned out to be very decent people. Yet their children turned out to be, you know, very good people, responsible adults. By the same token, we have all seen godly parents who sought to raise their children up to know the Lord. Yet one of them or all the children, they always have serious trouble. Scripture is giving us principles. May the Lord help you to follow those principles. The bottom line is that, like Moses says, hear of Israel, hear Andrew and Jalia, the Lord of our gods, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on Jeffrey. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. You need to know the Lord our God in order to do this. You may be a single parent, and your job seems overwhelming on a daily basis. You need to know that the Lord is with you, my friend. He will give you insight and counsel into how to teach and correct your children. Cry out to Him. If you are a son or a daughter, ask the Lord to help you to honor your parents. If you are a parent, ask the Lord for wisdom to raise your children. Seek the Lord with all your hands. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He wants to invite you today. Confess to Him your sins, your inability to live the way God wants you to live. This is tough if we want to do on our own. Let Him know that you desire. Come to Him. Offer Him your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. May the Lord bless you, Andrew and Jalia, and keep you and give you wisdom with Jeffrey. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this family. Thank you for a new life of Jeffrey. Thank you for your word that give us tips to be successful parents. But Father, help us to rely on you and help us, like Moses, encourage Israel to love you with all our hearts so we can train our children, we can give them examples, we can encourage them to carry on in your way. So Father, thank you for your word.